Well, if you would take your Bibles, we're going to begin in the Gospel of Luke, last chapter, Luke chapter 24. Today's Sunday, January the 28th, 2024. And this morning we're going to do a brief, very brief review of God's gift of Holy Spirit. And just a sidebar on that, when we reread scriptures that we've read before, when we review matters that we already know, what happens when we do that? Well, if we're humble and put our ego aside, we not only stay sharp on a particular topic, but we gain a greater and deeper understanding. And why is that? Because you're building more information on something that you're already familiar with. And as you continue to review it, your ability to understand more continues to increase. And they understand that in the secular realm. It's funny, I was driving around doing some errands on Friday, and I was just punching around on the radio, and there's a guy that does a real estate investment program. He's been doing it for like 30 years. He's very successful. He's helped people be successful in investing in real estate. And he happened to mention, as I got on that station, that he encourages his people, students, whatever, to retake the basic course every year for 4 or 5 years. And he said he's documented where people are able to see and understand things that they didn't catch previously. It's kind of went over their head. And you're probably familiar in 2 Peter where Peter said, look, I know you know these things, but I'm just going to keep reminding you of them. And then he went on to say, and I'm going to be doing this as long as I live. I just keep, you know, reminding you. So it's very profitable to review things that we may already know. So in Luke chapter 24, right before the ascension, Jesus Christ is about to float up to heaven. In Luke 24, 49, he said to them, and behold, I send the promise, Luke 24, 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then if we go to Acts chapter 1, which records the ascension into heaven and what he said right before in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the, there it is again, promise, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. He talked to them previously about the coming of Holy Spirit. And then in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. Jesus Christ had spoken to them previously on occasions about Holy Spirit becoming available. In Luke, we read where it was referred to as the promise of the Father, power from on high. Here again, it's referred to as the promise. Verse 4 again, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. Clearly, two baptisms are mentioned here, right? One is John's baptism, which was water. The other is Jesus Christ's baptism, which is baptized in or with Holy Spirit. And in just looking at these two verses, which baptism seems to be the greater of the two? These were his final instructions before he ascended into heaven. Was Jesus Christ indicating that John did this water baptism, but something much less significant is coming soon? That doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet, how many Christians today elevate water baptism and ignore Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit? John the Baptist himself said, in Matthew 3, can also read what he said very similar in Mark 3, but in Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that's coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So which baptism did John the Baptist indicate was the greater of the two? And you really have to say that John the Baptist was an expert on the topic of baptism. It was even in his name. And I, you know, when I was looking at these, I thought about a number of months ago, our wonderful Dave Carl did a teaching at Bible Thursday, and he taught on that word, but. But, you know, you read something in the scriptures, and then it goes, but. And I thought about that. In verse 4 again, Acts 1, 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. There's no scripture or indication that John's water baptism brought about spiritual power or gave people power from on high or endued them with power. Jesus Christ said concerning the coming of Holy Spirit, they would be endued with power from on high, that it was the promise of the Father. And not many days hence, like Jesus Christ said, the 12 did receive Holy Spirit and manifested power. In Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, the 12. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And then verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And as a result, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Isn't that just wonderful? They were filled with the gift of Holy Spirit, and then they manifested by speaking in tongues, which is, as you know, one of the nine manifestations. And that day, Peter preached a wonderful presentation of God's word. The main focus of his teaching was that Jesus Christ is Lord of all people and that God raised him from the dead. And in verse 37, the people said, when he kind of got to the conclusion of his wonderful presentation, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Now, what baptism was Peter talking about? Did he just take them all down to the river? Of course not. Well, what was Peter preaching about? Let's look at that. Let's back up now to back to verse 4. They were all filled, Acts 2, 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, speaking in tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. This is so remarkable the way God did this whole thing. Something God had been waiting for and planning for hundreds of years, for this day to happen. And it was when one of the major feasts, when people would come to Jerusalem. So that's why there are people from everywhere. Now, when this was noised abroad, got these 12 guys speaking in tongues there in the temple, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. This was a great miracle that God did that day because there were people there from more than 12 countries. There were more than 12 languaged people that were present, and yet everybody heard them, these 12, speak in their own language. They were all amazed, verse 7, and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" These guys are all Galileans. "How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" How is this possible? What is going on? And then it gives a little list there, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our language, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? What's happening here? Others, mocking, said, "These men are full of new wine." They had cancel culture back there too. "These guys are drunk." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." It's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. He said in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That is a manifestation of Holy Spirit. "Your young men shall see visions," manifestation of the revelation manifestations. "Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Down to verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." You know that Jesus Christ did all of these miracles. And now we'll see, you see the, if you continue reading, the focus of Peter's preaching was that Jesus Christ is Lord of all people and that God raised him from the dead. Remember, we read verse 38, and Peter said, when they said, "What shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent, repent, and be baptized." The word repent means to change your mind. That's what it means. So Peter told him, change your mind in verse 38. Well, what did they need to change their mind about? Jesus Christ. Verse 22 again. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands crucified and slain." These are the same people that a month and a half before were standing there saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas, put this man to death." Because they were all deceived maybe by the religious leaders that wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ. So Peter's pretty bold here. Yeah, you did it. You've taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, without any question, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Boy, what a bold presentation Peter was doing. He's Lord and Christ. Peter preached to them that Jesus Christ is Lord of all people, and that God raised him from the dead. And ever since that day, any person who accepts and believes that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord of all people and that God raised him from the dead, they get saved, born again, and receive God's great gift of Holy Spirit. Remember Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth, which means to agree, to acknowledge, to accept the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So verse 38 again, Peter said unto them, repent, change your mind, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the one that God raised him from the dead, for the remission of sins. And then look at this, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. The word receive there is the word lambano in the Greek, and it means to evidence, to manifest it, to operate it. If somebody gave me this pen, said, here you go, here's a pen for you. And I went, well, thank you very much. And then I took it and I put it in the drawer and never touched it again. Did I receive it? Yes. But is it doing anything? Is it helping me? No. But if somebody gave me this pen and I went, oh, thank you, now I start writing with it. That's lambano. That's operating. It's manifesting. It's utilizing it. So Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will manifest lambano, the gift of Holy Spirit. And remember, they were saying, what's going on here? What is all this about? He said, well, this is just what Joel prophesied about. God's going to pour out his Spirit in the last days. And then he began to preach about Jesus Christ, said, now you guys need to change your mind and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will lambano too. Did the apostles lambano? Well, of course they did. You don't need to go there, but verse 8 of chapter 1, Jesus Christ said, you shall lambano power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus Christ told them that when they received that gift of Holy Spirit, they would manifest it. And they did. We read Acts 2:1 or 2:4, right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And look at verse 33. Therefore, by the right hand of God, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, that's Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of Holy Spirit, there it is again, it was promised. He, Jesus Christ, has shed forth this which you now see and hear. What was it they saw and heard? The manifestation of speaking in tongues. So the apostles did lambano, they did manifest it, and now Peter's saying, change your mind, accept Jesus Christ as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, which is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you too will lambano. You can manifest Holy Spirit as well. Isn't that something? So, verse 38 again. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall lambano, manifest the gift of Holy Spirit for the promise. There it is again. Man, it's mentioned so many times that this was promised. Of course it was promised. It's what God was waiting for. The promise, it's unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When any person gets born again, they receive God's great gift of Holy Spirit. And they have the ability to lambano, to operate all nine of the manifestations. But if they don't know that they've received it, like many Christians, there are many people who are born again, who accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes, he's Lord, Lord of all people. Did God raise him from the dead? Yes, absolutely. There are many people like that who have no idea that they've received God's gift of Holy Spirit. No idea. And if they don't know that they've received it, or they don't know they have the ability to operate, will they ever do it? No. They'll spend their whole lives not knowing and not operating. And a wonderful example in Acts 18. We looked at this last week when we were talking about spiritual hunger. Acts 18. Let's read this again, because it's just a great example of someone who didn't have all the information, but did have the humility to listen and then believe. So in Acts 18, verse 24, a certain Jew, a certain Jew named Apollos. He was born at Alexandria. An eloquent man, just a great eloquent speaker, great orator, and mighty in the scriptures. That'd be the Old Testament, right? Because the New Testament wasn't written yet. He was mighty in the scriptures. It doesn't say he just knew some of the scriptures. He could quote you a few. Mighty in the scriptures. This guy knew the Old Testament. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, or fervent in the things of God. He was a wonderful man, a believer, loved the scriptures, spoke, taught, preached, did all this stuff. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. And then God's word tells us, knowing only the baptism of John. That's all he knew. You can't go any farther than what you know. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, this wonderful couple, had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Aquila and Priscilla hung out with Paul. Well, Paul certainly knew about the gift of Holy Spirit and manifestations. And it's just really remarkable that they didn't stand up in the synagogue and go, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Water. John baptized with water, but they didn't make him look silly or foolish. They just kind of talked to him for a little bit. But what's really remarkable, and it's pretty obvious from the context, that he accepted what they taught. Well, we'll keep reading. When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. Achaia is where Corinth was. Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. They would have never sent him to an area to help the believers if he was... I'm not changing my mind about anything. I'm carrying the water wherever I go. But what a great humble man that he was. And, you know, God shows us here that he was, you know, a highly educated man, mighty in the scriptures, great orator, and yet he had a spiritual hunger to learn more. And that's a great example to us, to keep growing and to keep learning, isn't it? So now we go to Acts 19:1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, that's, you know, Achaia where they sent him, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, not just people that weren't interested in God. These are disciples. These are believers. He found a group of believers. 12 of them, to be exact. And he said unto them, first question, have you lambanoed Holy Spirit since you believed? He didn't say, are you guys like, you know, going to fellowship every night? Are you praying a lot? Who's got a copy of the scriptures? Are you reading the Bible every day? First thing Paul said, have you guys lambanoed Holy Spirit when you believed? And look at their answer. And they said, we're still in verse 2. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, ghost and spirit, same Greek word. Sometimes Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost refers to God. Sometimes it refers to his gift. Well, they had certainly heard about God. So, no, we haven't heard whether there be any gift of Holy Spirit. What is that? And the reason they hadn't heard is because how did they get from Apollos, right? And Apollos only knew water baptism. Because then verse 3 said, well, then what were you baptized? How'd you guys become believers? Unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Oh, okay. Now I get it. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. These believers had only known about John's baptism, the water baptism. But when Paul got there, they gained a greater knowledge, and they manifested, they lambanoed. And we know they lambanoed because they spoke with tongues and prophesied, two of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Really wonderful. And so, if you're familiar with Acts 19, Paul stayed there for 2 years and 3 months. It's a long time. And the scriptures tell us that he was teaching daily. Man, that must have been cool living in Ephesus. Can you imagine going to hear Paul teach every day? Man, I'd have been there. Well, years later, he wrote a letter to these believers in Ephesus. So we go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to two more places. Ephesians 1. And it was years later that Paul wrote to them. I want to look at two verses in Ephesians 1. Verse 12, Ephesians 1, 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth. That's the first step. You got to hear it. You can't believe anything that you haven't heard. So watch this progression. It's just beautiful. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news, in whom also after that you believed. So, you know, you can hear the truth and go, I don't believe that. I don't believe a word of it. After you heard the word, then you believed it, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that beautiful? That's just awesome. They heard the truth, they believed it, then they were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the question comes up sometimes, is it wrong to get water baptized? You know, as a Christian, as somebody, a church, is it wrong to get water baptized? If a person wants to get baptized in water, it's not going to hurt them. You know, I mean, if that's what they want to do. And some people do it as a traditional ceremony. I mean, it's just part of the tradition. This is what we do. We get baptized. Some people do it as a absolute necessity for salvation. That's difficult to prove from the scriptures, isn't it? It is absolutely not a criterion to be saved, water baptism. Nowhere in scripture does it say that if you get water baptized, you will receive power from on high. There are no scriptures that say that. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say if you get water baptized, you will receive God's gift of Holy Spirit and have the ability to operate it. It's just not in the Bible. So, you know, if somebody wants to get water baptized, okay, you know, that's fine. But let me tell you about something even greater than what the water's doing. We're going to close in Titus chapter 3. Timothy, Titus chapter 3. Adam originally had Holy Spirit and he lost it. And part of God's great plan of salvation and redemption was to restore, to renew, to make Holy Spirit available again for human beings. And on the day of Pentecost, that great promise became a reality. Neglecting to teach God's people that when they get born again, they receive the gift of Holy Spirit and the ability to operate it. Neglecting to teach God's people that is a very sad disservice to God's people. And as you know, there's great learning about God's gift of Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and in the seven church epistles, and also in the pastoral epistles as well, including that great section in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. That section starts with God saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual matters. And then he just lays it out for three chapters. And at the end of that great presentation, God's word says, if anybody wants to be ignorant, go ahead, be ignorant if you want to. I'm really grateful that that section, Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is covered in detail, as you know, in the Walking in God's Power foundational class and the intermediate class as well. And then in the advanced class, it goes into even more detail about the manifestations of the Spirit of God in greater depth than anything I know that's available anywhere. And to sit in the advanced class, you need to sit through the foundational class five times and the intermediate class three times. And it's what I was talking about before, about building, gaining greater, which will help you to receive the information in the advanced class. We're closing in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after, Titus 3, 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. In the scripture, God is referred to as Savior because he's the author of the plan of salvation and redemption. Jesus Christ is referred to Savior. He was the agent that carried out that plan. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of Holy Spirit. That washing of regeneration, it's a word that means new birth or born again, regeneration. Washing of regeneration, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of new birth and renewing of Holy Spirit. Adam lost it for mankind. Jesus Christ promised that God was going to make it available. And the Holy Spirit was shed forth on that day of Pentecost. It was promised, it was renewed, and now any person who gets born again gets the Spirit of God and has the ability to operate it. The ignorance in Christianity today about God's gift of Holy Spirit is not God's fault at all. It's here. It's in the Word of God. It's here if people are willing to take the time to read it and to understand it. So as I mentioned at the beginning, reviewing a topic that you're already familiar with can give you added understanding of something you already know. It can also give you understanding on things you didn't recognize before, light bulb goes off. And I know we've all done that. How many times have you been reading scripture that you've read for years and go, whoa, that's added understanding that you didn't see it maybe the first 30 times you read it. And then now it's like, whoa, you get added understanding. And getting that understanding, it's a great benefit to us personally, and is also very helpful as we share God's word with people, because we're even more knowledgeable than maybe we were before we got that added increase. And it just helps us in sharing God's word with people. So all those who have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, meaning all those who are born again, have God's gift of Holy Spirit and the ability to operate it. Praise God. Father, thank you for your wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that you made available on the day of Pentecost to whosoever. And Father, thank you for the great work our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did in accomplishing our salvation and redemption, so that he could on that day shed forth that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for how privileged we are to know a little bit of your word. And Father, may we continue to study to show ourselves approved unto you by rightly dividing this wonderful word of God. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word with your people this morning. And I just ask you to bless everyone here and those on the hookup as well, those that may hear the recording later. Thank you for being such a good, loving, and kind God. And thank you that we belong to you, that we are born again ones, and that someday you're going to send your son back for us. Until then, may we continue to just love you and love each other in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.